live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a Donegal senator has told the health minister that he is outraged a funding request submitted by Letterkenny University Hospital was not approved. Meanwhile, a senior radiographer at the hospital says the government needs to consider paying consultants more to entice them to peripheral areas such as Donegal. Donegal County Council is to consider setting up an emergency task force to examine and address deprivation in the Donegal Gaeltacht. And the Taoiseach has warned it could be many years before there's a government in Northern Ireland if current negotiations fail. Those stories you follow on Full Plus More, and we'll have the latest in sport at about 5:15 with Kenny Harkin. But first in news, Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin has told the Health Minister in the Shannon today that he is outraged that a funding request submitted by the management of Letterkenny University Hospital was not approved. The request was submitted last summer under the Winter Initiative, seeking €1.8 million to facilitate the reopening of the short-stay ward and employment of extra staff, increasing bed capacity at the hospital by 19. During the exchange this afternoon, Simon Harris told Senator McLaughlin that he will be looking at bed capacity in general across the country, but gave no clear commitment in relation to Letterkenny University Hospital.
We have a real crisis at the hospital. One of the stories that stays in my mind, there's so many stories every day, but one story stays in my mind. 92-year-old man, pneumonia, gravely ill, 23 hours waiting to get through into the hospital. 23 hours. There's so many other stories, but that one really stood out. Absolutely appalling.
Senator McLaughlin, the issue of Letterkenny University Hospital and the 19 beds in the short stay ward. I hear the point you make. I hear it very clearly. I will be looking at capacity in general across the health service. Obviously, we'll be looking at it in Letterkenny and Donegal like the rest of the country as well. So I take on board the point you make as well.
It's claimed the government's national planning framework will kill rural Ireland. Ireland 2040 is expected to be published in the coming weeks. However, a number of cross-party TDs have come together to voice their opposition to it. They say the current plan will not pass through the Oireachtas. Labour's Alan Kelly says the North West is not served well in the document.
The North West of Ireland might as well be somewhere from outer space, as it's completely forgotten. When it comes to transportation and access, it's quite incredible that this document and this plan only makes reference to one airport and one airport growth in Ireland, and that is obviously Dublin.
Meanwhile, Sinn Féin's Ona Brin says the cross-border dimension is not adequately addressed, particularly in terms of the Letterkenny-Derry gateway.
It's not just the North West that isn't visible in this. The All-Ireland dimension is really not strong enough. In fact, in the draft, they talk about Ireland and her neighbours, and the North is kind of stuck in there. So, for example, if you're serious about having balanced regional development, you need to look at that Letterkenny-Derry access as a major centre of population and economic growth, not just for the cities, but for the general rural hinterlands around them as well.
The Taoiseach has warned it could be many years before there's a government in Northern Ireland if current negotiations fail. Talks are continuing between Sinn Féin, the DUP, and both governments from Dublin and London. It's been more than a year since the Stormont executive collapsed, and Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says this round of talks is absolutely crucial.
There are talks ongoing in Belfast at the moment. They are at a sensitive stage, and I want them to succeed. I think this is the last chance for them to succeed. And I am very concerned that if they do not succeed on this occasion, that we won't see the restoration of the institutions for many years.
Meanwhile, the deputy president-elect of Sinn Féin says the party wants to be in government with unionists but will not return to Stormont until certain rights are guaranteed. Speaking earlier to Greg Hughes in the 9 till noon show, Michelle O'Neill rejected claims that her party is blocking progress for political reasons. She says people in Northern Ireland are looking for the same rights as those across the border.
What we're asking for is rights that are available to people who live in Donegal, in Cork, in Dublin. We're asking for marriage rights language rights. What we saw in the past was successive unionist ministers discriminating against the Irish language and discriminating against everything that's to do with Irish national identity. That's not a sustainable government. So we want to make these institutions work. We want to tackle public services. We want to fight against Tory austerity and transform the health service and education. But the government will only work in the north if it serves all the citizens equally.
The Environmental Protection Agency has announced that three Donegal water supplies have been removed from their remedial action list. The Pedico, Port Newnarn and Rathmullen supplies, affecting almost 1,000 customers, have all been approved by the EPA following extensive treatment and upgrade works by Irish Water in partnership with Donegal County Council. Works are continuing on a further 8 water supplies in the county, with a view to having them removed from the remedial action list as soon as possible. Catherine Gaffney has more.
In Pettigo, works to improve disinfection, operational and filtration systems have been completed to address treatment and management issues at the plant, while works to replace over 4 kilometres of troublesome water mains in the Nairn, Port New, Dunloe and Litchimackle Ward areas are complete, following an investment of over €970,000 by Irish Water, thus addressing THM issues in the Port New Nairn water supply, enabling its removal from the list by the EPA. The third scheme is a quarterly update of the Rathmullen supply, where residents and businesses are benefiting from a €0.5 million investment by the utility. 8 Donegal water supplies remain on the list, and Irish Water are currently upgrading or constructing 3 new plants to include Cryptosporidium Barrier at Glenties Ardra and Owen Teskina, Kilcar and Letterkenny.
President Michael D. Higgins has signed the Intoxicating Liquor Amendment Bill into law. This clears the way for pubs to open on Good Friday this year, ending a ban in place since 1927. Many publicans had voiced frustrations over the restriction and called for it to be removed. The Dáil debated the final stages of the bill last week. A senior radiographer at Letterkenny University Hospital says the government needs to consider paying consultants more to entice them to peripheral areas such as Donegal. Conall McAward is a retired radiographer who has returned to the hospital on a part-time basis. He says while the hospital should have 7 full-time radiographers, it actually has 2 full-time, 2 locums and 2 retired radiographers like himself who work part-time. On today's 9 till noon show, Mr. McAward said a decision was taken in remote areas of Canada to entice professionals to move there, and the government here should consider such a move.
In Canada, for example, in places like Newfoundland, which is fairly isolated, they entice particularly younger radiologists and surgeons and other physicians to come to those places by paying them significantly higher than they would get if they stayed in Toronto or in Montreal. And they give them, say, a fixed-term package for 3 or 4 years, which makes it well worth their while going to the peripheral places. Consultants are well paid. I wouldn't claim that we're impoverished or anything like that. We are well paid, but we're also exceptionally well trained. You know, I mean, you spend 7 years after you qualify as a doctor before you can get a post as a radiologist. People are getting paid more, or far more, and have better conditions of work in England, in Scotland, in Canada, in Australia. You know, there's no incentive for them to come back here.
The former Justice Minister has told the Disclosures Tribunal that she made a conscious decision not to interfere in the O'Higgins Commission. Frances Fitzgerald said she did not see an email in May 2015 informing her of a Garda legal strategy to pursue the motivation of Maurice McCabe at O'Higgins. Deputy Fitzgerald resigned last November over how much she knew about a Garda strategy to discredit Maurice McCabe. Juliette Gash reports.
Last November, then Taoiseach Frances Fitzgerald told the Dáil that she did not remember an email of May 15, 2015, which was sent after legal argument arose at the O'Higgins Commission of Investigation. This afternoon, Deputy Fitzgerald said she didn't know when she read the email and disagreed that it informed her of the strategy at the Commission to pursue the motivation of Maurice McCabe in making complaints against Senior Gardaí. It was put to the former minister that she decided she didn't need to consult anyone, nor be advised, nor do anything, just leave things as they stood. Frances Fitzgerald said she would frame it differently, saying she made a conscious decision not to interfere in the commission as it would have been inappropriate, and it was for Judge O'Higgins to deal with. Deputy Fitzgerald also said in the meantime she was doing lots of other work in relation to how whistleblowers were dealt with. Her evidence will resume tomorrow. Juliette Gash at the Disclosures Tribunal.
A West Rowan MLA is calling on those bringing forward a legal challenge against the A5 to withdraw it. The Permanent Secretary of the Department for Infrastructure in the North has confirmed that the Western Transport Corridor scheme has been delayed until September 2018 due to the court action taken by the Alternative A5 Alliance. This is only the latest in a string of delays encountered by the project. MLA Daniel McCrossan says this is a project that is vital for the region.
And it has become very, very disheartening and frustrating for many people because they're fighting against the greater will and wants and needs of the people here west of the ban that so badly want the A5 to be delivered. Jeremy's correspondence has outlined very, very clearly that the Alternative A5 Alliance are the challengers. And what's more concerning is that the Alternative A5 Alliance has boasted about this publicly, that they would proceed to continue to take legal challenges against the A5 road.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, supporting this year's Operation Transformation. Gear up for life at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 12 minutes past five. Time now for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with some good news in schools soccer. Defending champions Mulroy College successfully defended their All-Ireland B schools title today. Home Farm in Dublin was today's venue, where Mulroy defeated Middleton College Cork by 2-0, and Laura Dugera was the hero with both goals for Mulroy, and what was an excellent victory for them. Defending champions Mulroy College, congratulations to them. In soccer cross-channel, Olivier Giroud has completed his move to Chelsea. He signed a 18-month deal at Stamford Bridge with the option of an additional year. Giroud has become surplus to requirements at Arsenal following the arrival of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. The Gabon striker has joined from Borussia Dortmund, with Arsenal shelling out a club record £60 million. His replacement at Dortmund is likely is going to be Chelsea striker Michy Batshuayi, who has undergone a medical there. Well, after that transfer of Aubameyang today, here's Thierry Henry.
Is Aubameyang going to do what he's supposed to do, or what he does all the time? I think he will do, but I always talk about the supporting cast. What you might lose, and you will lose with Giroud, is you're losing a guy that can score goals off the bench. I'm happy as an Arsenal fan that we attracted Aubameyang.
Well, Aubameyang won't be the highest paid player at Arsenal. That honour instead will go to Mesut Ozil. The German playmaker has reportedly signed a new 3.5-year deal at the club, which will see him pocket £350,000 a week until 2021. Ozil's deal was set to expire this summer. Elsewhere, Sandro Ramirez has left Everton for Sevilla on loan. Some other deals that could be completed today include a loan move for Leicester striker Islam Slimani to Newcastle. With Swansea, they're close to the re-signing of Andre Ayew from West Ham for around £20 million. Well, on the pitch, the top three are all in Premier League action tonight, with runaway leaders Manchester City hosting West Brom. Manchester United, they're away to Spurs at Wembley. Chelsea, they play host to Bournemouth. And Seamus Coleman could make a Premier League return for Everton as they welcome Leicester to Goodison Park. Elsewhere, Southampton face Brighton. Newcastle take on Burnley, and Watford, they go to Stoke. Up in Scotland in the Scottish Premier League, Hibs, they host Motherwell. Bottom club Ross County, they host Aberdeen, who are in third. They can go second if they don't lose tonight. And the Republic of Ireland women's head coach Colin Bell has agreed a contract extension. He'll remain in charge of the team until the end of 2021, the European Championship campaign. In Gaelic games, holders St Mary's are out of the Sigerson Cup. They were beaten by 17 points to 1-9 by UUJ at St Paul's this afternoon. DJ Carey's IT Carlow are also out. They were beaten 1-11 to 8 points by DIT, while at 7, Dundalk IT faced DCU, with the winners to progress to a meeting with last year's beaten finalists UCD. There'll be lots more news in Gaelic games on our GA programme with Tom Comack, which gets underway at 8:30 and continues through until 9 o'clock tonight. In rugby, there's a first cap for winger Megan Williams and the Irish women's side for their first Six Nations game against France on Saturday. With options scarce at out half, Niamh Briggs has been handed the number 10 jersey. Connacht's Laura Feely could make her debut off the bench. Ireland, they face the French in Toulouse on Saturday evening, and despite the many changes in the squad, captain Kira Griffin says they're still out to win.
You never go out to play a game just to take part. You want to win, so that's still our aim. We want to win. You want to win every game. We go out and play in a green jersey, so that's still the aim. Nothing's changed.
There's 9 new caps in the Irish under 20 team for their Six Nations opener against France on Friday. Leinster out half Harry Byrne and Munster wing James McCarthy are among those who will be making their debuts in Bordeaux. Tommy O'Brien will captain the side from the centre, while scrum half Johnny Stewart, who made his first start for Ulster against Leinster at the RDS earlier this month, will earn his 11th cap at under 20 level. Elsewhere, Stuart Hogg's back in the Scottish team for their Six Nations opener against Wales in Cardiff on Saturday. The full back was a late withdrawal from November's win over Australia and returns as one of 6 changes to the side. Hogg is also one of 9 Glasgow Warriors playing in the starting 15. Moving on to horse racing, and there's 105 horses have been entered for the world's best known staple chase, the Randox Health Grand National, to be run at Aintree on the 14th of April. Mike Vance has been looking ahead.
It's the fourth time in 5 years that more than 100 horses have been entered, and they include Black Lion, the winner of the Beecher Chase over the famous fences in December, and The Last Samurai, who's been impressive in his last 2 runs over the track. The strongest challenge will come from Ireland, with Willie Mullins and Gordon Elliott, the trainers, both with double-figure entries, and also John Drew O'Neill's got a strong hand on paper. The weights will be announced on the 13th of February.
Finally, for this evening in Formula One, the so-called grid girls will no longer be used starting from this season. Formula One organisers say they are at odds with modern-day societal norms. The move comes barely a week after the PDC announced they wouldn't be using models to walk players to the stage at their events anymore. That's all your sport for this evening. There'll be more sport tomorrow morning after the 8 and 8:30 news. For the moment, back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Donegal County Council is to consider setting up an emergency task force to examine and address deprivation in the Donegal Gaeltacht. The Glenties Municipal District has been classed as one of the most deprived rural areas in Ireland in the Pobble Deprivation Index. The council say that given the concerning profile that has emerged, such a task force may be needed. Councillor Mary Therese Gallagher is confident that the move will go a long way in addressing the issues.
We as public representatives can't just say that, you know, that this is okay or anything else. We have to turn the tide, and unfortunately we haven't been able to turn that tide so far. So we need to be focused, we need to be ambitious for our people, and we need to look at youth retention. Youth retention is probably the biggest problem that we have in West Donegal, and the North West City region is a very welcome development. The Udras na Gaeltacht, the report that came out today, is a very welcome development. However, we need to put all of that together and see how Donegal Gaeltacht actually knits in and what our ambitions are and what that vision is. I suppose one of the most critical things is that the fishing industry would have been a huge industry in the Donegal Gaeltacht. Since the decline in the fishing industry, there has been no vision, and there hasn't been another option available to people, labour intensive and things like that. So we need to look at all of those things, and it will take numerous people coming together, numerous bodies, but the major thing that will have to be is investment in the Donegal Gaeltacht.
Belfast Crown Court has heard a woman's claim she pleaded with Paddy Jackson just before his Ireland and Ulster rugby teammate Stuart Olding raped her. Both players are accused of raping her at a party at Jackson's South Belfast home in the early hours of June the 28th, 2016. From Belfast, Frank Graney has this report, which some listeners may find disturbing.
The woman claims Paddy Jackson raped her at a party back at his house in the early hours of June 28, 2016. She claims it happened shortly after she firmly told him she didn't want to go any further after some consensual kissing, which also took place in his room. At some point, she said she remembered the door opening and Stuart Olding walking in. She said her heart just sank and she knew what was going to happen next. She said she looked straight into Jackson's eyes and said, "Please, not him as well." She said Olding then got onto the bed and forced her to give him oral sex. She claims Jackson also sexually assaulted her. Blaine McElroy from Royal Lodge Road in Belfast is accused of exposing himself to her, while Rory Harrison from Mance Road in Belfast is accused of perverting the course of justice and withholding information. All 4 deny the charges. Frank Graney at Belfast Crown Court.
And for weather now, cold and blustery this evening with frequent showers, some wintry with a risk of thunder and a risk of snow on higher ground. Highest temperatures of 4 to 6 degrees in strong and gusty west to northwest winds. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin has told the Health Minister in the Shannon Today that he is outraged that a funding request submitted by the management of Letterkenny University Hospital was not approved. During the exchange this afternoon, Simon Harris told Senator McLaughlin that he will be looking at bed capacity in general across the country, but gave no clear commitment in relation to Letterkenny University Hospital. The Environmental Protection Agency has announced that three Donegal water supplies have been removed from their remedial action list. The Pedico, Port New Narran and Rathmullen supplies, affecting almost 1,000 customers, have all been approved by the EPA following extensive treatment and upgrade works by Irish Water in partnership with Donegal County Council. A senior radiographer at Letterkenny University Hospital says the government needs to consider paying consultants more to entice them to peripheral areas such as Donegal. Conal MacAward is a retired radiographer who has returned to the hospital on a part-time basis. He says while the hospital should have 7 full-time radiographers, it actually has 2 full-time, 2 locums and 2 retired radiographers like himself who work part-time. And Donegal County Council is to consider setting up an emergency task force to examine and address deprivation in the Donegal Gaeltacht. The Glenties Municipal District has been classed as one of the most deprived rural areas in Ireland in the Pubble Deprivation Index. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 31st of January. The sudden death has occurred of Michael Callaghan, 3 Rosevale Sign Mills. Michael's remains will repose at his late home on Friday from 12 midday until 10 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock in St. Teresa's Church, Sign Mills. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place at the Donegal Hospice of Dennis Hewitson, Kildare Dunfanaghy. Removal from the hospice tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, going to his late residence. Funeral in St. Michael's Church, Creasla, on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Harkin Funeral Directors, Creasla. The death has taken place at Atlegavan Hospital of Marie Maguire, Nae McGinley, 2 Canalside, Strabane, and formerly of Orchard Street, Strabane. Her remains will repose at her home from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from her home on Friday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. The death has taken place at Knockmoyle Lodge, Oma, of Michael McGrath, 119 Melmount Road, Sign Mills. His remains will repose at his home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sign Mills, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred at Letterkenny University Hospital of Teddy Gallagher, Common Ardra. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Inquiries to Derek McCabe, Funeral Director, Ardra. The death has occurred of Frances McGee, 462 Imlick Villas, Carrigans. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30 to St. Bathan's Church, St. Johnson, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Mary Barbara Douglas, Factory Road, Derry Beg, and formerly of Yorkshire, England. Her remains are reposing at her son Jim and Moya Douglas's residence, Derry Beg. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, on Friday morning at 10 o'clock. Her remains will then be brought to Lakeland Crematorium, Cavan, for cremation. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. with house private pleas after the rosary until 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Gwydor Day Centre, care of any family member, or Kieran Rorty, funeral director. The death has taken place at Beech Hill Manor Nursing Unit, Liz Fannin of Evelyn Doherty, Roxtown, Urris, Clonmany. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30 to St Michael's Church, Urris, Clonmany, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Beech Hill Manor, care of any family member, or Comiskey Funeral Directors, Clonmany. The death has taken place of Mrs. Henrietta Etta Fleming, Millhouse, St Johnson. She died at her daughter Jen's residence in Bangor, County Down. Her remains are reposing at Millhouse, St Johnson. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for service in St Johnson Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice or St Johnson Presbyterian Church, care of any family member, or Gibson Funeral Directors, Convoy. And the death has taken place at his late residence of Davy Dave Campbell, 16 Windmill View, Glencar, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, Letterkenny, at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal branch of Diabetes Ireland, care of Charlie McLafferty, Funeral Director, Church Hill, Letterkenny, or any family member. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m.